Hi, JP.
Hi. So now, you heard Spencer in that clip. He said bring on the Knicks. He was wrong. Ken Carman years ago said bring on the Yankees. He was wrong. You say bring on the Tigers. Are you the only person to successfully at this station say bring on fill in the team and then be able to be right?
I believe I am. And can I just say it's really nice to be right?
I mean, hey, don't hurt yourself. Pat yourself on the back.
In fairness, you and I are not I Was Right radio guys. There are other people on the station to do that for you because they need to tell you when they're right. We don't need to. I was right, though.
You were right.
I don't need to. No. I don't need to.
No.
want to. I want to tell you that I was right.
Were you nervous at any point, though? At some point, after game three, when we were worried whether or not Kerry Bonds broke this team, you might have got a little worried. I call him Kerry Bonds, not Kerry Carpenter, by the way.
Well, no, that's his new name, but only when he plays the Guardians, apparently. The whole thing. Like, I think it's so funny. Like, I think we act as if we were supposed to feel great about every single moment of every game. No, the playoffs haunts you. It teases you. It wrinkles your brain. Mm-hmm. It destroys your confidence, only to build you back up and then maybe take it away from you again. So no, I at no point did I ever feel overly confident once the series got underway, because I think the spy versus spy element of the ALDS is what made that series so hard. It was, you had two very aggressive managers trying to outfox each other. You had teams trying to win the same way, and a couple games Detroit played your game better than you did. And that is honestly, that's tougher than just a team that can outslug you.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I never felt wildly confident, even going into this one. The second this game starts, I'm going to be in tatters. Like, you should have seen me. On Saturday, so the Guardians moving from the 8 p.m. first pitch to the 1 p.m.
really threw off a lot of people's days.
Well, here's the thing. We had for like weeks at a time, we had scheduled a farm tour that we go around in Medina County with my in-laws. And so we had to do it. There was no other, like, we can't back out of this. So your boy was...
You could back out of it.
No.
No, you put a deposit down on the farm tour?
Well, no, it's not like that.
What's the non-negotiable here?
Weather-wise, we knew that if we backed it up at all, because Medina County got a lot of rain on Saturday, more than folks up here, so we knew we weren't going to have a chance to do it, and it's like my kid's favorite thing to do.
Okay.
So
it was a kid play, which is good.
We listened in every time we were in the truck, and there was total silence because everybody knew Dad was tense. And then I had the earbud going on, and it finally got to a point.
Looking like Steve Bartman at the farm.
Like, it was, you could tell. Let's just say this. There was one gigantic man walking around the farm tour pacing and actively pacing. And like, my kids were like on a loom. My kids apparently like really like to knit now. It was a whole thing. So like on these old time looms, and I'm just sitting there outside like, I can't believe you're going to do this. Don't pitch to him. What? Wait, why we pull Matthew Boyd? And then finally Vanessa was like, Nick, we're on our final stop here. It's early in the game. We're going to make it home for at least the fifth inning on.
It's like a farm crawl. You know, you do bar crawls?
Yes, that's exactly what we did. And so she said, she was like, why don't you just not have the earbud in? Because I think it's going to kill you. And I was like, you know what? You're right. My blood pressure is sky high. And then the first thing that happens is we wake up, they had a food truck. We walk up to the food truck. And we're in the middle of getting I had mac and cheese with brisket on top. Vanessa had the nachos.
Solid play.
So just delicious. And as she's scooping my mac and cheese, this woman just lets go a mother bleep out into the universe.
Thing sucks.
And that's when the Tigers scored first.
Wait, were your headphones caught up?
No. So I was behind her.
You were behind her.
Yes,
so
because
she spoiled it for you.
I was listening on the phone and she was listening on the radio. And no, I just put, the, but I, so I was always behind whoever was listening on the radio in the moment. But I had put the earbud away.
But it's like when I watch Browns games and then I'm trying to get back to my house coming from the MGM or coming from the studio or West 6 or whatever. And I follow too many people. They give me the notifications.
Yep.
So I know. I'm listening on the radio, but I know 5 or 10 seconds ahead of time that, like, I don't know, some massive play happened. And it's the worst.
I was 5 to 10 seconds behind, or would have been 5 to 10 seconds behind, but because I'd literally just taken out the earbud, my blood pressure had just started to recede.
Yeah.
I just started to get on the level, and she said that. And, dude, I just had to walk away. I was like, it's not her fault. It's nobody's fault.
Definitely not her fault.
It's not Matt. No, it's not Cade Smith's fault. It's not Hunter Gaddis's fault. It's not Andrew Walters. It's okay. And now I will say I made it home for the Lane Thomas Grand Slam. And it sounded like a shotgun went off in my house because I lost my ever-loving mind. And some are calling it the biggest play of their Cleveland sports fandom history.
What
more can you say about it?
I heard some people say that type of thing. I'm happy. I'm happy that the station can continue doing bring on whatever team, because if you would have lost, it would have been Spencer, would have been Ken and you, and that we would have had to retire that to the rafters.
So with this, we're actually going to flip this because I actually want to start with the question you asked me in the pre-show.
Sure.
About the ALCS. Who is, for you, who is one player that can decide the Guardians' ALCS fate?
I think it's got to be Josh Naylor.
Ooh.
And so part of the reason why is I'm trying to fight fire with fire here in this series. I'm dialing everything up. I'm matching everything up. We know what they have. They have Soto. They have Judge. They have Stanton. They have the power in the middle, in the heart of the lineup. We don't have that when Josh Naylor doesn't hit. When Josh Naylor hits 200 and slugs 250 like he did in this last series, we're missing a big piece. So I think we go as Josh Naylor goes.
I'll be honest with you. If you said that I can trade any of the RBIs that he had, the singles that he had for home run, I would today. Like, even if it meant I got less home runs, I did singles, give it to me. Because you're 100% right. Lane has made up for this with the two home runs. Hosey got his first home run.
And think about how we won those games in particular, right? Game one, you won because of the Lane Thomas home run. Game four, you won because of the Jose and David Fry home runs. And then game five, you won because of the Lane Thomas home run. Like, I remember a lot of people giving him grief for like swinging out of their shoes after game three. And it's like, well, wait a second. You see how you're winning these games, though? You have to hit the ball far. You have to hit home runs.
Well, for me, it was more just, can we balance it a little bit?
Sure.
Like, and I think they actually did. Like, I think if you look at some of their at-bats, listen, one, you were hitting more harder balls than the other team was. And that finally bore fruit in the second half of the series. But the other thing was, I think you were just a little bit more consistent with, one, I'm going to look for that fastball. And if it's not the fastball, late in the count, I'm actually going to go ahead and just try and make something out of this. So, like, the Lane Thomas thing was, he just finally sat on the fastball, got it first pitch, and drove it home. So, like, I agree, though, I think it is Naylor. I think it's tough for me to imagine you winning eight more games to take this whole enchilada, whether it's this series or next, without Josh Naylor hitting at least one home run in that
short
span.
Right field porch.
Yep.
How many Rock the Babies are we going to get?
None until he hits a home run. I'll tell you that right now.
But if he does, is he going to actually go around the bases and rock the baby, or is he going to? Or some people thought he was doing something else. But like, is he going to do that play?
Only on a home run though, right? It's not like a double.
Yeah. Oh no. Okay. You can't do the double. That seems very weak, especially if it's like a 5-1 game and the Guardians are losing, and then he hits a double and starts rocking the baby.
So it's
that
not,
would lack awareness.
It's not like a bad defensive play at first base where you almost turn. One run scored into more than one run, like we saw in the Detroit series, right?
It's not that. I get very angry at players when they're losing games and then they continue to do those type of things, though. Like, it's an 8-1 game, and then they do their little jump thing that they do, rounding second base into third. I just get agitated with that stuff. When they're winning, it's great.
216-474-0092. Who is the one player that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate? All right, as long as Stephen Kwan is still doing what Stephen Kwan is doing.
Are you expecting that, though?
Well, yeah.
He hit almost 500 in the last series.
Well, okay, but this is who Stephen is when he's healthy. And in a short series, not a short series, but in 3 to 5 to 7 game series, even a singles hitter can take over a series.
Well, I mean, we watched him in the first 2 months bat 400. Did we just ignite that? Because he's a streaky player. Josh Naylor's a streaky player, but so is Kwan.
So with Kwan, though, I think what the Detroit series proves is that he was just hurt.
Okay.
And I think he actually time to rest up because he's taking the ball to left field and taking what's being given to him with so much more authority than he has since probably June. Like, you can tell, like, the swing is so much better. It looks so much better.
Well, the Tigers seem to have no answer.
But I got to say, it's Hosey.
Okay, good. I got worried we were going to do this and not have any Jose Ramirez answers.
No, it has to
and
be Jose.
That would have felt wrong to me.
It has to be Jose.
I'm going a little outside the box with the Josh Naylor one, but I do believe in it, and I do think he's a catalyst for it all. I'm glad you at least settled in on Jose.
So the reason why it's got to be Jose is he's your best player. He's the highest paid player. And they even if they walk him, that's fine. Then it becomes Naylor, but let him. And here's the thing. I don't think they're going to pay as much attention to Josh to Jose as much as maybe Detroit did, because I think the Yankees are going to play with a little more hubris. AJ Hinch knew he couldn't get Jose going. I don't think the Yankees are going to fear Jose the same way, no matter what Aaron Boone says. So I think Jose, I think he's going to get a lot more opportunities to make plays in this series.
Well, runs were at a premium in the Tigers series, right? You scored one or two runs, you felt like you could just win any game imaginable. Where in the Yankees series, the Yankees just don't have that mentality. Most home runs in baseball in the regular season were hit at Yankee Stadium. Like, they just feel like they can claw out of anything. So I think you might be right about that.
216-474-0092. Who is the one player that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate? That, and we're not going to surprise you at all with what you're going to hear from the national crowd. Hey, guys, two former Yankees think the Yankees have an easy path to the World Series. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Afternoon drive.
You forgot. It's been so long.
It gets me every time. The Last Guards always gets me on air.
For a whole year on Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin, after every Guardians win, we played that song.
So
you played it for like a day. We played it every single day after a Guardians win.
Here's the thing.
Because I thought it was so funny.
I knew if I tried to play it every single day on the show, I think I might have lost my partner, my producer, a year before I actually did.
Well, it definitely wouldn't have worked for you. It worked for it was the 10:30 vibe, okay? It was a good 10 o'clock, 10:15 vibe for sure.
Well, here's the thing. Keith's the boss now. Dustin is off there doing college football. I think it's going to be whatever I want it to be now.
I just never knew if people understood that it was you singing it.
I don't really need him to. Well, now I do want credit because they're in the ALDS or ALCS. When it was just in the regular season, didn't need to know.
Okay.
But now this is like a victory lap that it will only take in the postseason.
Yeah.
What? All you guys.
You're getting vague threats by Keith from behind you.
We're going to play.
Keith is treating it like in back of you is the Today Show right now, where he's like a guy holding a sign and doing all sorts of different funny things in the background.
So this is is this also like the.
I think he's making fun of your musical talents, is the point.
Let's see you do better. I haven't heard. The marble mouth of Crawford County, as I struggle to say that. I haven't heard of him sing.
Keith better watch out for me.
Damn right.
I hear he's the songbird of our generation.
So we're asking everybody, who is the one person that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate? And you said Josh Naylor.
Which, by the way, the lineups came out, and they're doing the same thing they did in Game 5, where it's going to be J-Ram, and then it's going to be Lane Thomas, and then it's Naylor.
Yeah, I think that's telling you something. I think this is less about Naylor and it's more about Lane is just knocking the cover off the ball.
He's riding the hot hand.
Yeah, which I love. Because
I don't know that I love it because I'm waiting for the hot hand to flip here. I keep waiting, not necessarily in an anti-Lane take, more of a, I think Naylor is going to have a great series.
I don't.
Short right field porch, didn't play particularly well in the Tigers series.
This would be the game to prove it. Although he is going up against Rodon, which I would probably say that's another part of this too.
Yeah.
But so we threw this out there, you know, who is the one player that decides
fly ball pitcher in Rodon?
The Guardians ALCS fate. And Robert on Twitter and Twitter reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying the one player who could decide the fate of the Guardians is Austin Hedges bunting for an RBI single with the bases loaded. I don't think he's stealing David Fry's move.
Can I tell you a secret just between all of us here?
Yeah.
I don't love the idea that Hedges is getting so much.
Credit?
We call it credit? Is that what we're going to call it? Yeah. People are acting as if he's out there doing everything. And it's like, I understand he's a great motivator. And I understand that he's done a lot for this team in regards to getting everyone on the same page. And great, the TV camera like pans to him every time somebody hits a double. But like, come on. Like, doesn't that dismiss what Lane Thomas is doing to Lane Thomas's face? I just think it does. Doesn't that completely...
Everybody can get credit here.
I feel like Hedges is getting more credit than Stephen Kwan is for that series. It's like wild to me.
I actually think Hedges might be getting more credit than Stephen Vogt for that series, which is interesting.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I actually love...
People think he's the manager now.
As much as I hate watching him take at bats late in games, I do love that they put him out there in key situations late in games. If it feels like Bo Naylor doesn't have a feel for it,
he's
I kind of
well
love
worth
it.
The $4 million that you paid in the offseason. It's amazing the water into wine that Austin Hedges is apparently able to do.
You know, he won a World Series last year in Texas.
I got the memo. Who were they before
Austin Hedges?
And I'll tell you, nobody. I read every Rangers piece that credited Austin Hedges for winning that title. No. The same way I'm reading them now here with the Guardians.
Well, you hate this. Wait till they win the World Series, and you gotta go ahead and give Austin Hedges credit for the World Series ring.
It's wild to me how this is all happened.
I'll be honest with you, because again, I groaned when they signed him. I did. I can't act like I didn't. If Austin Hedges being on this roster,
because it's the only thing they did. I don't think you groaned because of him.
They gave Ramon Laureano $7 million. That was done by May, but well, there was that bar. You know what? Let's not talk about that. The point is, there's a lot of good things to focus on. But if I have to pay homage to Austin Hedges for the rest of my life, but it ends a 77-year World Series drought or 76-year World Series drought, we're good.
Oh, I'll sign up for that too. Forget the Jobu doll. I'll create an Austin Hedges doll if we have to. Like I'll go to extremes to credit him if we need to. But that's just me being nice. At that point, that's just me being nice is all that is.
No. I think that is you just basically stopping logic in the tracks and just giving way to emotion.
Exactly right.
That's like the we wouldn't have won that championship without Deli. Okay.
It's Napoli shirtless running around. It's like, that's the reason why.
If he had kept the shirt on, people have been saying it for a while, you would have won the World Series.
Hey, did you hear there was a party at Napoli's? Did you hear that?
I did.
Did you get the t-shirt? Did you get the memo about the party?
I think it got busted up by Bill Murray and Eddie Vedder. I'm not still mad. Eric in North Royalton, who is the one player that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate the most?
I wanted to cheat. I wanted to take a couple of guys, but I can't. By the way, real quick, I love that Guardian. You sound like a songbird. I'm not up late enough to hear that on the experiment or with Nathan Peterlin, so I hope we hear a lot more
that
of
that.
I was just combining seven things wrong there. I think this has got to be a Manzardo or a John Kenzie Noel, depending on the matchups that we're going to face, like today being a lefty. We'll see it as it is, but I think if you want to slug this thing out, Ramirez and Naylor, maybe keeping pace with a Judge and a Soto, I think this, if you're going to win this series, this is going to be decided by the little guys. It's going to be decided by the Rocchios, the Jimenezes, the platoon type guys. And I think this is different. And we win this series if we can get a big bomb out of Big Christmas, which I know I was banking on this last series and I was wrong. I think maybe he finds a way to run into one, or you get one from somebody else at the bottom of the lineup. Pitching is going to do their thing. I think Jose and Josh are going to, they're going to do their part. I think the difference is if you're going to win this, you need to be able to beat the Verdugos and the Chisholms and the bottom of the order guys with your bottom of the order guys and get the job done that way.
Eric, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. Go Guards. What hurt most about that? Was it the experiment, the seven combinations? Or the Nathan Peterlin?
It was your laughing after he, man. That's what hurt the most.
All right. Sorry.
Because you caught a stray in there, whether you realize it or not. Okay.
It was the one that got me the hardest was the Nathan Peterlin.
No, I feel like it's making a comeback lately.
Well, because it's the Nathan Peterlin.
I don't know who sends the memos of like, hey, what are we going to do to get after Jonathan these days? But I feel like somebody sent out the Nathan Peterlin memo, and now that's been going for a couple months, which is fine.
So real quick, because I even missed my stray in there because I was laughing too hard like an a-hole. What was my stray in there?
Well, him forgetting that the experiment is like that's not a show anymore. That's gone.
I thought that was another shot at you.
No. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. If he would have instead of overtime, he said like the bonus or something. That would have been that's what he needed to do. The bonus with Nathan Peterlin.
Bonus period with Nathan Peterlin.
That would have been funny.
So it's funny, like I think it's really interesting that Angel Martinez isn't on this roster. The guy who, when Stephen Kwan was out, they trusted to lead off the freaking lineup. The idea that he really never got a chance in the ALDS, and he never is going to get a chance in this series, is wild. I do think they're banking on we only need one home run from John Kenzie. If we get that, he pays off playing in the postseason. And because one home run from him, he's also protecting Josh Naylor in this lineup, batting six tonight, Naylor five, as you'd pointed out. I think they're banking on we only really need one hit from John Kensie, and that might be worth four hits from Angel.
Well, they're selling out for the idea that you got to have runs in this series. If you're going to beat the Yankees, you can get away with hitting the way you did against the Tigers. Yeah. You can't do that same thing with the Yankees. Yankees are going to put up runs. I like the point by Eric, too, by the way. Like, Jazz Chisholm was awesome. Like, and the Yankees players outside of Stanton, Soto, and Judge aren't awesome players. Like, they're not, they don't have depth. They're like a muffin. They're very top heavy, the Yankees are. And so you like really have to not, you don't have to worry about their other guys. But in the Royals series, I mean, Judge went so cold, couldn't hit anything, and they just used those other guys and they got there.
Well, and I kind of think that's how the Guardians have played the Yankees in recent years, is they say, we're going to let everybody, but this year's different because Soto's there, but Judge primarily, and Stanton beat you.
And Stanton so did in Game 5.
It was like...
Game 5, 2022. Stanton with the home run. That was it.
But it was like, it was Gio Urshela beating you. You know, it was a Higashioka. Like, it was everybody else until Stanton in Game 5. And that's what made that series so defeating, is you knew the longer they go on, at some point, Stanton or Judge is going to wake up. And a lot of the damage done in that series 2 years ago was it was this day player, that day player, this day player.
Well, and on that point, are you feared then, or are you fearing a little bit of the idea that Aaron Judge was so cold in that Royals series? Like, he's a sleeping giant. At some point, he does have to wake up. And when he wakes up, whew, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, I think stylistically, I think the fact that the Yankees are so different from you, I think that gives you some sort of advantage if you can get them to play your way.
Well, they did that in the Royals series. That's what happened in the Royals series. Yeah. Their bullpen was great. Didn't allow a single run. They didn't really have great starting pitching, except with the exception of Gerrit Cole, obviously, in the back end of that. But like they tried to beat you the way that the Guardians win games. That's what they did in the Royal Series, no question.
And the problem with the series 2 years ago is you didn't have enough power to go with the timely hitting, and then the timely hitting fell apart, so it was boom or bust. You were either going to hit a home run or you're going to get nothing. I think this year...
Well, and in Game 3, if you remember right, when the Guardians went up 2-1, was Oscar Gonzalez with clutch hits in the ninth inning. You put up 3 in the ninth. I'll never forget it. You put up 3 in the ninth to then win 6-5 in that Game 3, and it's like, who were the winners of that game? It was a game started by Tristan McKenzie and then delivered with runs by Oscar Gonzalez. Like, it's been a... Think about how far we've come in 2 years.
Well, but I think between Naylor, Lane Thomas, and Hosey and Kwan, like, I actually think you've got more guys. Kwan, I know, hasn't hit as many home runs since coming back off. Well, okay, he doesn't have that much to prove, but, like, that many games to go ahead and hit home runs. I do think you have more power from reliable sources than just a rookie on a heater. In this case, I think John Kensie is Oscar, and he's like your sixth hitter. Oscar at points felt like he had to be your four hitter in
right,
that series.
Right. Well, and credit the Guardians, though. 12th in baseball in home runs this past year. Yeah. Like, they made an effort for it, and it really does matter. And in the postseason, especially against the Yankees in the series, it's going to matter. You're going to have to hit home runs.
Yeah. So I think you're going to have to live with the Yankees hitting home runs. I think
for
it's
sure.
Making sure that the runs don't come across in other areas.
Well, but basically, right now, Nick, though, do you feel like, and I feel this way, and this is not how I felt in the Tigers series, is the idea that if you get down 2-0 or even 3-0, it doesn't feel like it's blouses.
Yeah. No, because you can dink and dunk your way. Now, if it's 3-0 in the eighth, you're probably, you know what, like you're probably screwed.
Right.
But 3-0 in the third, this is why I actually think it's going to be fascinating to see whether Vogt has a longer leash in this series, because he knows, like, I got to get more out of that. I actually want to get your reaction. And we've got Sean and Samuel. Stick right there. 216-474-0092. Who is the one player that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate the most? I want to get Jonathan's take on the five-hitter, five-inning rule. And we'll talk about apathy. Not with the Guardians, with some other team. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Before we got back to Browns for a minute here, I did want to give you part of my path to winning the ALCS is you need a five-hitter rule and you need a five-inning rule.
Okay.
And that is, on any given night, you need five hitters to show up.
Okay.
And I think we can count on Kwan. I think you can count on any given night, backfilling a few of those spots between Fry, Lane Thomas, and Rocchio. But I think that's where your Naylor play comes in. And then the five-inning rule is, in several of these starts, if not four of seven starts, you need the starter to be able to make as close to five innings, if not five innings, a reality.
Oh, so I'm kind of curious to find out what kind of hook he has with some of these guys, just because, listen, the Tigers did it better than the Guardians did, but one of the Guardians' secrets is doing that quasi-opener thing.
So it is. The problem is, if you do that tonight, if Cobb goes three innings tonight, I think you're going to have a longer leash with Tanner Bibee tomorrow. And maybe that's the trade that you make. Take this game and then, you know, they play first.
I thought Bibee was always kind of looked at as if, and not, I mean, he's not Scooble, we know that, but I always kind of thought he was looked at in that same vein. Like, you know, you got one guy that's going to be able to go maybe six, maybe seven, and kind of push the limits, and then everybody else is open or free for all.
I just don't think we're there yet with him. I mean, he is clearly your best starter. But my concern with him in tomorrow, specifically tomorrow, is that is going to feel like a big game. That is, there's so much played up about the Yankees in game two. If you're down 0-1, I hate that kind of pressure on him. I would rather, if we talk about this big picture,
yeah.
I would rather get five innings out of Tanner and not push him into the sixth or seventh if he's having that day where he's missing his fastball high or he's just not consistently. Like, you can't cheat with this lineup the way you could against the Tigers. If it means I also get five out of Boyd and Cobb and whoever else starts.
You can cheat in certain spots of this lineup. Can I say that? And I think some of this might...
They are super patient. That's fair.
Yeah, I just think some of this might depend on where you fall in the lineup at any given point, too. You know, like you obviously want to avoid Soto. You want to avoid Judge. You want to avoid Stanton. Outside of that, bring on anyone. I shouldn't have said bring on. Bring on was the wrong phrase.
There
was
a
wrong term. I'm sorry about that. But I am sitting across from the one person that says bring it on, or bring on whoever, and has gotten it right. So maybe, just maybe?
Yep, maybe, just maybe.
No, but you could do it. Honestly, though, once you get outside of the heart of the order, the Yankees lineup is just not full of killers. They're just not. It's been a problem all year.
So we'll get back to this. Obviously, we've got the 5 at 5 coming up. We're going to have the Steven Vogt presser probably coming up in about 60 minutes time here. But the Browns lost again, and I'm going to imagine you're not too far off where I was, where this is probably the first time where in game, I knew that theoretically they had a chance to win, and I knew in absolute there was no chance they win.
Yeah, it was rough. It was one of those games in the first quarter even. You ever catch yourself when you're watching some of these games? And then, I mean, we wait all week for these games. We dissect these games, and we figure them all out. And then it was first quarter, and I'm like spending way too much time on Twitter. I'm looking more at Twitter than I am the actual screen, and I'm like, this is not good. And I caught myself. It was like 5 minutes left in the first quarter. I'm like, this is not what I wanted. I said in the pregame, Nick, I'm like, the most interesting part of the game might be whether or not I go pizza or wings during the game. Like, that might be my excitement for the game. And jeez, it felt awful.
There was a thought that I had, and I almost don't want to say it because I don't want to sound like I'm cheapening this play. My favorite play of the game was Myles Garrett blocking it, Rodney running
for
it back.
For sure, but you knew, but even within that play.
Well, but even I think it kind of put lipstick on the pig. The game really was not that close. The defense, it was one side. That's as good as the defense has played this year. I know they gave up a couple plays. They can't be perfect. They're also injured to Wazoo and back.
Yeah.
And also, Greg Newsom and MJ Emerson have apparently had the Monstar steal their powers, but that's neither here nor there. Like, you played as well as you can play. But I do think that the Miles and Rodney combo there on special teams, I think it maybe gave the Browns a chance to say, well, we only lost by 4 points. We had a couple chances. If we just execute better, like, I almost feel like it plays into the idea of, well, let's play this thing out for another week.
Hey, but it also instantly made us turn into another joke, where then everyone across the national media landscape was like, ah, did you know Rodney McLeod leads the team in touchdowns? Like, instantly, that's how that happened. Yeah. Like, it's like, I know we can't have anything nice. I get it. I've made peace with it. But this is just, it's gotten to a spot that's so frustrating.
Well, and at this point, I just am not going to go into any more Sundays even thinking they're going to win. I'll expect them to be competitive. My bar is now.
They got to earn that trust back.
We've gone from playoffs are bust to just figure out the offense to can you just win a couple games to just be competitive and don't get outclassed like you did against Washington.
Well, remember,
that's in six games.
In the Commanders game, I think a lot of us had the thought of it'd be so Browns if they just ended up winning that game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how Browns of them would that be? No one's expecting it. And then, like, going into yesterday's game, I don't think any of us could even think that would be so Browns.
I don't know, man. I just, here's the thing, and I thought the morning show did a great job pointing this out. It's ugly. And the things that are going to start to come out of the Browns locker room are ugly.
I was waiting for it after this game.
I'll be honest with you, it's a matter of time unless they get a win soon. Because now it's at home. And it is tougher to hide this stuff at home because fans are in the underling of the stadium. Like,
and
fans
also
are so close.
Every media member is there as well. It's a bigger traveling party, so there's going to be more attached to that, too.
Well, let's be honest.
You can talk to more guys.
You've been able to keep that. Remember, what was it? When was the Jadeveon Clowney thing? That was like week 8.
End of the season.
That was the
last week of the season.
I'm talking about the first Baltimore game where he refused to go in except on third down.
No, that came. Yeah, but that came back. That report didn't come out until after.
Okay.
That was part of that bombshell report by Mary Kay at the very end of the season.
And that,
we knew none of that until that point.
And that was a 7-win team.
Yeah,
you're on pace for 3 wins if you're lucky. I'm finding it harder and harder to believe that this is just going to be, let's wash away the Deshaun part of this and everybody's going to be
now,
fine.
Now, if you take it back, what we did know about that end of that season and before the final week of the season was that every media member heard them arguing with each other after every single game.
No. That was just loudly talking.
Yeah, they were
in
each
other's
nice
general direction.
Just
yeah.
having nice convos.
Walls
are thin.
One of my family
what are
members
we doing?
Wore a I'm not yelling at you, I'm just Hungarian shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just hand those out to the Browns now. No.
Was it your nudge mama?
No, it was not. It was
you're not getting aggressive out there?
Ready for it? It was my Kettis mama.
Your what?
Don't worry
you're
about
just
it.
Making up names now.
Hey, you wish. You wish you could have a Kettis mama.
I want a Kettis mama.
The 5 at 5
yeah,
next.
Yeah, as much.
On 92.3 The Fan.